Real quick, Pastor Dave sends his love. He's out of town right now, but we have a guest speaker that's been here before, a great brother of ours, somebody that actually came from this church, Pastor Danny Crespo. So if you would please welcome him. Pastor Danny, for those who don't know, he has a church in Puerto Rico, and he has one in Rochester, Center City, and he's a great brother. Be prepared to hear the word.
It's great to be with you. As Larry mentioned, we have some good news and some bad news, and the good news is that Pastor David is just fine, and Shauna, they're down in Hudson Valley filling in for Bobby Hargraves. How many of you guys know Bobby Hargraves? Okay, two of you do. Okay. So he's praying for you. He sends his greetings. He loves you, and he'll be back, God willing, this week. And that's the good news. And there's even better news, and that is Jesus is here. And he is the Lord. And so we've come to worship him, and we thank God for just a wonderful pastor and leadership in the church that he has raised up. And so today I'd like to talk to you about finding your calling in life. Finding your calling in life. And if you have your Bibles near you, I invite you to open to a few places. The first one is 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And you can put your little bulletin in there maybe and go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians 1, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. And then the third place you could open to is Colossians 3. 1 Corinthians 1. 1 Thessalonians 2. Colossians 3. So at least we can all sort of start together. Even if we don't finish together, we can sort of start together. How to find your calling in life. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for Pastor David and Shauna and their family. We pray your blessing upon them. I know, Lord, you're going to bless through them. And I pray, Father, that you would bring them back safely. Refresh them, strengthen them. We thank you, Lord, for your presence, that you're a global God, that you build your church. We thank you, Lord, and we pray now that you'd give us ears to hear you. We thank you that we are with you. Help us to push back all the cares and the worries of this world, all the distractions. And I pray for the person that's here today that is just struggling, feeling lonely, feeling hurt. I pray, Lord, that you would bring your comfort, your help, your voice would be clearly heard by them today. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, there are four callings that every single person on the planet has been given, every one of us, because Jesus created each one, and Jesus created each one of us with a plan and a purpose, and he is on the move to bring each person to him. There are different categories of people. Some people are ignorant of God. They're ignorant of Jesus. They're ignorant of God's plan, why they're here on this planet, what's the purpose of life, what happens when you die, where did they come from. And some people are not ignorant, but they're ignoring God. And God is calling them, but they're ignoring him. And then there are some people that are just outright rebelling against God. But God is calling each one of us, and people are responding in different ways. And my hope today is that you would hear some things that will help you find your calling, and that you would hear God's voice today and respond to the way God is calling you, depending on where you're at today. And so the first calling of the four that we'll look at is God, first of all, calls you to himself, into a personal relationship with himself. In 1 Corinthians 1:9, Paul writes to the Corinthians, God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. So you and I, as well as the Corinthians then, were called by God into fellowship. That means a personal relationship. That means communion, intimate life with God. That's the first calling. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, come unto me. He's calling us. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and I'll bring rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So Jesus calls us to come to him. He invites us. And that's the first and most important calling that each one of us has, to hear his voice. Because when you talk about calling, you're basically hearing a voice. You're hearing someone call you, and Jesus calls you into fellowship with him. We have the ability to hear his voice. In 2 Thessalonians 2, Paul said about this calling, how God calls us into fellowship with him. It's through the gospel message. He says, to which he called you by our gospel for the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So the way we often hear God calling us is right through a gospel presentation. When we hear the word of God being preached, God has designed it so that through those words, his Spirit takes them and he speaks to us. He's given us the ability to hear him in our spirit, in our soul. And we get convicted when we hear the gospel. We get convicted of our sin. We get convicted of the separation that we have from God. We just realize that we have a void in our life. We have an emptiness in our life that nothing has been able to fill. And through the gospel message being preached, we hear God's voice saying, I'm the answer to that. I'm the reason that you're here. And God calls us and calls us, I believe, you know, even when we're young, and oftentimes we don't realize that he's the one actually working in circumstances of our lives in the background. But he's doing it all to bring us to him, into fellowship with him. I remember as a boy being raised a Catholic, and I was a good Catholic. I used to go to Catholic school, and I was an altar boy. And through those years, God was calling me, but I didn't really understand, because I never really heard the gospel clearly. It's an amazing thing. I never heard a clear presentation of the gospel until a meeting that my sister invited me to with Nicky Cruz. And he's a guy from New York City, an evangelist, and he came and he shared the gospel. And when he preached, I heard the Lord calling me. And I responded, and I received Christ. I came forward, I prayed, and it was like a burden was lifted off of me. And that was the first time that I heard his voice. He was calling me into a relationship, and the gospel was clearly preached. But then what happened, I was 16 years old, and it never, you know, I didn't fully understand, and I went to a church, and the church was not teaching the Bible. And so we ended up falling away. Well, 8 years forward, when I was 24 years old, I was sitting at Microcopy. I was a shipping and receiving clerk there, and I was in a room probably twice the size of this room, and it was late in the day, and I was getting out the rest of the orders. UPS was coming, and I'm there by myself. Everyone had already left. It's after work hours, and all of a sudden I hear this voice right here, Danny, I love you. And I mean, it was that clear. And it was funny because I thought it was a gay person.
my first instinct was, because it was a man's voice and it was so intimate. He said, "I love you," like you'd say to your wife or something, you know. And then I looked around and said, "Is this some person in here?" And I realized that it was God. He was calling me again. And he does, you know, God calls us in so many different ways, but it's through the gospel he calls people into fellowship. That's the issue, that God is calling every one of you into an intimate relationship. He does it through primarily through the gospel, but he could do it through dreams, through a vision, through just an audible voice, the way God does it. And that is when I began to walk with God. And I believe that God has been calling some of you like this. I picture a person's relationship with God like a thousand steps. And God has been working in your life. Jesus is messing with you. He's been messing with you for years and bringing you along step by step to step until you get to the final step. And Jesus said, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved." And he brings us along closer and closer. It's like fruit being ripened. I have a tree, apple tree on the side of my house, and it's a funny thing when the apples, they're starting to be ripe now, and they're starting to fall off the tree. But a month ago, they were green, and you couldn't pull these things off the tree. You'd break the branch trying to pull the apple off. But it's a funny thing now that they're ripened and they're ready. A breeze comes, and boom, 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 you could hear the apples just falling by themselves. And Jesus likened that to people's salvation, how he's working, and you're green, maybe some of you, are ready, and I believe some are ready. You're ready to come in and to fellowship with God. The fruit is ripened. He's been taking you step by step, circumstance by circumstance, and God often uses pain to bring you to that place to sensitize you and sensitize us to why we're here and to bring us into fellowship. And that is something that when God calls you into fellowship with him, it's something only you can do in responding to him. In other words, I believe there's a moment when God calls each one of us to come into fellowship with him. Jesus calls you. There's a day that he calls you. And only you can respond. You personally, individually. Your parents can't do it for you. Your father can't do it for you. Your mother can't do it for you. You have to do it for you, yourself. You have to come personally, individually, when Jesus calls you and receive him and come into a relationship with him. And we want to give you that opportunity as we look at these four callings. The first one is the most important one, is to come into a personal relationship with the Lord. And then the second calling that we're all called to is we're called to his kingdom. God calls us to himself, and then he calls us into his kingdom. In 1 Thessalonians 2:12, that you would walk worthy of God, who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. So God calls us into his kingdom. After we heed that calling to come to him personally, then he calls us into his kingdom. And the kingdom is the king's domain. If you think of the kingdom of God, just think of Jesus's domain, God's domain. And Jesus died for this world. He created this world. He owns this world. And he's working in individuals' lives. He's calling them into his kingdom. And so he's constantly expanding his kingdom, Jesus. And wherever Jesus is, that's where his kingdom is. It's talking about his power and his authority, and his plan and his purpose to expand his kingdom. Whenever Jesus is near, his kingdom is right there. And this is what John the Baptist said. John the Baptist was Jesus' cousin, and when he saw Jesus near to him, coming to the Jordan to be baptized in Matthew 3:2, John said, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." When he saw Jesus coming, he said, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And then Matthew 4, Matthew wrote, "And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all kinds of sicknesses and all kinds of diseases among the people." And so God is wanting to use our life to bring us into his kingdom so that we can then serve him. We can live for his kingdom. When Jesus taught his disciples to pray, he said, when you pray, pray like this: Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. So when God calls us, it's like a repentance that takes place, a change of mind about who I am. Now that I've come into a relationship with Jesus, called into fellowship with him, I see that he's the only true and legitimate king, King of Kings. And I change my mind about myself, about God, about this life, the purpose, the meaning of life. And I begin to now relinquish my kingdom, because you have a kingdom. Every single person on the planet is living in a kingdom. And for many of us, we're the king of our kingdom. Or we're the queen of our little kingdom. And it's a funny thing, because we might not really realize it, but we like to be in charge. We like to make the rules. We like to rule. We like to reign. For some of us men, maybe you own a company. And for you, that company is sort of your kingdom. You own it. You rule. You reign. You tell people what to do. You tell them how you want things done. You're the man. You're the king. And you get great pleasure. Or maybe you're a mom, even a stay-at-home mom. She could be the queen of her kingdom. Her kingdom is her home. She rules. She reigns in that home. And her children are her little, you know, her subjects. She says, you do this, you do that, you do this. And she's the queen, and she's ruling, and she's reigning. All of us have our little kingdoms that we make up in our head. Even if you're a teenager, a young person, you have your own little room, and your room is your little kingdom where you rule and you reign. And you say, I don't want you in here, you little stupid brat. Get out of here. You tell your mom, don't go into my room. And you put up your pictures of the cute guys and the cute girls that you like, and you put up all this stuff. And this is your little kingdom where you rule. This is your space. You're in control. You call the shots. This is how we all are, really. We could go on this topic for a long time, but this is how we are. And when we meet the true king, when we meet Jesus, and he says, come to me, we have to relinquish our kingdom or bring it to him. Whatever he's given us, whether it's your business or your marriage or your home or your family, whatever it is, you acknowledge that he's the king, and let his kingdom come. Let his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And you relinquish the idea of you being in charge and in control, and you then begin to see yourself as his servant. And you bring all of those things to him, and you say, here, Lord, it all belongs to you. Let your name be great. When he taught us to pray, he said, when you pray, pray like this: Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Let your name be great. That's what Jesus said. Let your name be great. And we want our names to be great, even in church. A pastor, this could be his kingdom. A church, a ministry could be your kingdom. And you don't have to just leave everything, but you bring everything to Jesus. And you come in, and he calls you into his kingdom to now begin to serve him. So his name is great on the earth. And that might mean you still running your business, but now there's an awareness that you're doing this for the king. And everything is about Jesus now. Your marriage, your home, everything about you. And you're not really designed to be the king. You're designed to be a servant. God created you to be a servant. Even if you're a CEO of a Fortune 500 company, you're still a servant. And until we come to that place where whatever we have, we're still God's servant, and to use it for his dominion and his glory and his kingdom. And wherever God takes us on the planet, we become more like a global mentality of we're now serving and being sent by the king. So I'm here today in this part of this church. I might be somewhere else I'm a neighborhood missionary. I was an overseas missionary for years. And that was the first thing that we do, is you come and you begin to seek God's kingdom. This is what Jesus said in Matthew 6, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things shall be added unto you. Seek first the kingdom of God. And then in Matthew chapter 5, Jesus said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. In other words, there's a dethroning that takes place because we're in charge of our little kingdom, our little world. We're the boss of this little thing. And when you meet Jesus, you realize that he is the king and you become poor in spirit. And that means that you just realize there's something really, really wrong about life, something that you're missing completely, totally. There's this void and emptiness in your life. And you realize that all their pursuits were vanity. You're building sandcastles and things that have destroyed right in front of your eyes, the things that you've worked so hard for, children that you're so proud of, and businesses that you're so proud of, and relationships that you might have been proud of at one point. Now you're absolutely humiliated. And, you know, the business that had to file bankruptcy. And what happens to that is you become poor in spirit. You become humbled. And then you start dethroning yourself. You take yourself off the throne of your heart and you say, Jesus, would you be the king now? Will you sit and rule in my heart? And would you make the decisions now and lead me and guide me that I might serve you and please you in this life and to live for your glory, to live for your kingdom and not mine any longer? And God calls us to this. He calls us to his kingdom. After we come into fellowship with him, that's the second calling, his kingdom. And then the third calling that we're all called to is to his church, to a church. A church is like an outpost of God's kingdom. He has them all over the planet. In Colossians 3:15, Paul said, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. And that's the third calling. All of us are called into a local body of believers. Big ministries like this one, or smaller ministries. Some don't have buildings. Some meet at parks. Some meet at beaches. But there's a group of believers. That's what church means, the called out ones. You're called out in the town that God places you in to be about his business, about his kingdom in that city. And all of us are called to be part of a church. Peter said, but in 1 Peter 2:9, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And this is what God does. He calls us out of darkness, ignorance of God, of knowing why you're here, what the plan is for your life. He calls us out of darkness and brings us into light and revelation of who God is and who you are, who you really are, and what this is really all about. And so we hear the voice. Again, we hear the voice, God calling us into fellowship. And then as you start walking with him, you're going to hear the voice of, okay, let it go. Let this go. Come into my kingdom. Live for my kingdom now. And then he calls us into a local church where we get equipped. This is basically God's plan. The church is a group of believers. And God, Jesus said, I will build my church. And he builds churches everywhere in his kingdom. And there are places where we gather primarily to worship God. If you don't know, you say, why church? Why church? Well, church is God's idea. Jesus said, I will build my church. People say, I don't like church, but Jesus loves church. He loves the church. He's building his church. And there's three things primarily that a church is about, so that you might, if you don't know, and you probably do, I'm sure you absolutely probably do, most of you. But just in case you don't know that God's calling you to this church, you might be going back and forth. But you're called primarily for the exaltation of God. This is why church exists, for the exaltation of God. This is what we are doing. We're worshiping God. We come to church, myself included. Whenever I go to church, even though I have to teach or do something else, I come primarily to worship God, to thank him for my week, to thank him for my family, to just thank him for my health and blessings that he's given me, to worship him. That's the first reason. And then there's a second reason for the edification of the saints, the exaltation of God, the edification of the saints. And this is where we're edified, in edificio. Edificio means like a building, an edifice. You're built up. And the church is like a building. It's like the house of God that's being built up with human beings that God does it. And he gives gifts to the church, teaching pastors like your pastor and gifted ministers and women that are ministering to you, and they're gifted, and you get taught, you get encouraged, you get strengthened, you learn about God, and you get equipped, which is a medical term that has to do with mending a bone. So church also is a place of healing and teaching and training and building you up in the things of God, so that you know God, you learn about God, you get discipled, and you know who Jesus is, and then you are serving in his kingdom. You understand what God is doing globally, and you learn how to hear his voice. So this is why a church is so important. It's for the exaltation of God. It's for the edification of the saints. And the third thing is for the evangelization of the world, so that we get equipped in the church, and then we were called out in this city, Spencerport, and this area, Ogden, to know what the Lord wants to do, what his will is for his kingdom to come in this area. And you get together, you pray, you hear God's word, and then you plan to go out as you hear from the Lord, your leadership and people hear, and then they go out and they evangelize the community and they preach the gospel so that others can come into fellowship with God just like you have, and that the plan and the purpose of God is accomplished. So this is why you're called to a church. I passed a bunch of churches to get here. And as Larry mentioned, I was part of this church in 1987, I think it was. We were down there in this little building right on the same street, but it was before Amity. Lyle Avenue, yeah. So it was, actually, I remember once going to the well. You guys were meeting at the well. Which is like a party or a wedding place, used to be. And then in 1994, the church, was so instrumental in my life. I actually was, the first time I was ordained through this church. This is why you're called to a church. God calls you to a specific church because he has a specific group of people with the gifting that he's put in that church and that body that you need, that are going to, you're going to interact with. And you're going to learn and be challenged. And you're going to learn how to forgive. People don't realize that. God brings you to churches to teach you not only from his word, but how to forgive. So that's part of God's process of molding you, is teaching you how to forgive and how to love people and how to love different people, people that are different. And we all need to do this. We're being molded and we're being shaped. And this is how we discover the calling of God, is often through his church. So important. God calls you to a church for you to be faithful. When he calls you to a group, a body of believers, that you are faithful and committed to going to that church and really getting part of it and letting God do his work in you and through you. This is how you find the calling in your life. He uses the church. It's funny, in the book of Hebrews, Paul, it's an exhortation to these Jews that were thinking about falling away. They were thinking about leaving Christianity and going back to Judaism because they were getting persecuted. It was so difficult. And Paul exhorted them in Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some, but exhorting one another. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. So he's talking about, don't forsake the gathering. Don't forsake the church, the group of believers. And the response is, but exhorting one another. What do you think is the most influential voice in your life?
your father, your mother, your pastor? No, it's you. It's your own voice in your head that from the time you wake up, you're thinking about yourself. You're having conversations with yourself. You're thinking about other people, and then you're rehearsing all this stuff and talking to yourself and talking to yourself and talking to yourself about this person and these people and this, that, and the other thing. And we can just fall away. But when you're in a church, you go to church, and all of a sudden someone else's voice, God's voice, calls you and speaks to you. So you're thinking like this, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit uses someone and speaks to you. And you hear God's voice, and then you realize, I was wrong about that, the way I've been thinking. And you need someone. You need a check in your life, because we will go off the wall. I need you. In other words, I need you. I need to be in a church. I walk in, and someone prays for me, and they start praying is exactly what I'm going through. The song that they pick, it's exactly what I needed to sing and be reminded of. The message that the pastor preached, the greeter, the whole church becomes the message. That when I dropped my kids off, the lady just said something to me that just completely helped me. I heard another voice come in. And that's why you can't forsake the gathering of yourselves, because God wants to speak to you through the other voices in the church that he's going to use to edify you and to build you up and to equip you and to show you your calling, what he's called you to do and what he's called you to be. It's not very difficult to find out your calling. Some of you are thinking, what am I called to do? What am I called to do in the church? I would say three things. First is, what is the revealed will of God? Black and white, right there. When God says, don't do this, don't do it. And when God says, do this, love one another, forgive one another, it's a choice. Okay, God says, you know, as Christ forgave me, I need to forgive. Be patient. Be kind. Lord, help me to be more patient. I need to be more patient, wait upon you. And I need to be more kind. I have to practice kindness, practice, because the Bible says to be gentle. I need to be more gentle. And so what happens is as you practice the revealed will of God, and you're going to fail like I do all the time, but as you get serious about practicing the will of God and hearing the word of God at church and being a doer of the word and not just to hear, you start practicing, what's going to happen is God is then going to show you his specific will. Some of you hear about these situations like, man, God called this person, and it was an amazing, like a book of Acts kind of experience that they had, a calling to do this or do that. But I never get that. Why doesn't God ever call me like that? And a lot of times it's because he wants you first to just do the revealed will of God. If someone's not going to practice, try to practice right here what it says in black and white, why would he speak to you a specific revelation of what his plan and his purpose is? Because he starts just like a father, step 1B, or 1, 2, 3, ABC kind of thing. So that's the first thing about knowing the will of God is as best as you can, practice the revealed will of God, and you're going to find that you're going to have amazing encounters with God where he speaks to you very specifically about what he's called you to do. And the second thing is because you're in a church, you are going to develop relationships with godly people. I mean, Ruth doesn't realize, but God used Ruth many, many years ago in my life. She doesn't even know about it because I never told her. But God used her to speak to me about the direction in my life, in ministry. See, as you develop relationships with people, they're going to get to know you, and you know, leaders in the church and people in the church that are called to shepherd God's flock, God gives them the ability to understand the gifts of the Spirit and the gift and the ministry, the different offices in the church and so on and so forth. And gives them the ability to see people and see their gifting. God often tells them to help the people coming up in the church in the different areas of ministry. So as you're in a church, this is why we're called to a church, to get equipped and get healed and to get prepared. Because you get to know people and then they're aware of you. They know you. They've seen you in different environments over years. And so you ask yourself, so first of all, the revealed will of God. Secondly, what is your passion?
What do you love to do? What do you like to do? God often just is very natural. He put it in your heart. You love to do that. You like to sew. Maybe there's a sewing ministry for new moms when they have babies. You can quilt little blankets for the babies. And that could be your ministry because you love to do it already. Or maybe you love gardening, you know. There's some gardening that needs to be done here. And you just love to do it. That's your passion, is gardening. And this is how God often calls you is, or maybe it's Sunday school teacher, or maybe it's to be an usher. You love, you're a happy person. You know, one of the things I always look for greeters are they smiley. You know, some people are just smiley. They smile really easy. You know, you'd probably be a great greeter, a great usher because you smile a lot. Someone with, you know, I always tell Pastor Tony, he's a big guy. I said, Tony, man, you're way too serious, man. You're too intimidating because you're huge and you don't smile easy. People see you. But not only what you love to do, maybe it's music, but number two, though, you have to, along with that, you have to be good at it. You have to see some fruit because some people want to do something, they're excited, but they're not really called to it because they can't do it. So you might say, oh, I have a passion for music. I want to be on the worship team, but what are these? I don't know how to do it. So you're probably not called. So number one, what is the revealed will of God? And then what do you love to do? And where has the fruit been in your life? What have you been effective of? Sometimes you can't see it as a younger Christian, but I can see it. You did that outreach at Life Together Fest and you were like evangelizing. You were like, you know, all into it. And, you know, it's like people have the ability to see gold in people's lives. And sometimes it's just like panning for gold. It's a little gold nugget, tiny, and it just sparkles for 1 minute. Someone who's trained can tell that person right there, they got it. Just a little sparkle at a meeting, and the Holy Spirit will show a pastor or somebody in leadership that person is called, and they can't see it. Initially, they can't see it. And you're always evangelizing. And once you, the pastor, what is my gift? What is my calling in life? And sometimes I'd say, well, obviously you love to do this. And you're always evangelizing. You're always inviting people to church. You're always handing out tracts. You're always telling me about you going out to the streets and witnessing to people. Obviously, you're called. This is God's calling. You're called to be in evangelism, or you love children, nursery, whatever it is. And you can see that you've been good at it. And people say, you've been good at this. So finding your calling in life isn't that difficult. Is what do you love to do? What have others, godly people in the church, seen in you? And this is why you need to develop relationships with them so that they can help you and lead you and guide you into those areas. And you should. You should ask godly people that you know, what do you see in me? What areas of ministry do you see me in? I love God. I know I'm called to His kingdom. I know I'm called to this church. But what do you see in me that I can do? I want to serve in the church. I want to understand what my ministry is, especially if you have an administrative pastor. Administrative pastors are not only gifted in administrating the ministry, but they're also gifted at finding the right people and being able to discover what people's gifts are and then move them into the positions that they should be in. It's a gift that God gives individuals. They could actually organize a church. They can look at an individual, be around an individual, and God shows them what their place is in the body of Christ, an eye, an ear, a nose, whatever it might be. So we're called to be in a church so that you're around godly people who are going to equip you and build you up and heal you and then help you find your calling in church, right through other believers. So we're called to Him, first of all. We're called to His kingdom. We're called to His church. And then lastly, God calls us to a vocation. In Ephesians 4:1, Paul says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the vocation with which you were called, or lead a life worthy of your calling. And in 1 Corinthians, Paul told the Corinthians, when you became a Christian, just stay for now in whatever situation you were in. Just stay there. You know, sometimes we want to make big life changes when we first come to the Lord And unless there's something illegal about what you were doing, then, you know, it's probably, you know, you need to just, you know, repentance is a funny thing. Repentance, often people don't understand what it means, but the idea is that you change your mind. And some things you can repent of really quickly. You can repent of some things, but there's other things you really can't repent, although you've already repented. But you've repented, God knows you've repented, because you've had a change of mind, a change of heart about this situation. But you haven't been able to actually flesh it out yet. Sometimes there's a process to repentance. It's like, I love traveling with my wife, and we traveled cross-country, I don't know how many times. We buy motorhomes, and but there have been many times when I was wrong. You know, we're driving and driving, and my wife is telling me, Dan, you're going the wrong direction. And I'd say, no, I'm not. Yes, you are. No, I'm not. And we'd go, and I would drive 50 miles only to discover she was right. And I then changed my mind. I repented. I realized I'm going in the wrong direction. But the problem is I couldn't just take this motorhome and jump over the medium. I'm now stuck in Texas, and the exits are like 20 miles apart. So I am now repented in my mind, but I still have to keep going in the wrong direction until I find the exit. And I still haven't turned around yet, but I'm working on it. I know that I'm wrong now. That's the main thing. You know you're wrong. And then then you got to get up to an exit, and then you got to make a left, and then you got to make another left, and then you're now going in the right direction with God. And sometimes our lives are like that because we get ourselves, it's complicated. So he calls us into a vocation. And sometimes he tells us to, you know, obviously if there's something illegal about what you're doing, get out ASAP. But if you're, you know, business partners or whatever else and they're not Christians, you might have to work that out. But in your heart, you've repented. And God's called you to a vocation. He's called you to, not everyone is going to be on staff at a church. Most of you are not going to be, but you're going to be working at different, you know, car dealerships, and some of you work at a daycare or a nursing home, or some of you do work for the church, but there's all kinds. Some of you are mechanics, some of you are working in your homes, raising children, all kinds of callings that God has, because he spreads us around like salt all over a community. It's like the world is like an egg-shaped world. You know that. Our planet is sort of egg-shaped. And it's like God sprinkles salt on the planet. And he puts you, you're that salt. He's put you somewhere in a vocation to be light for him, to be salt, to witness to the individuals where you work at. And you'll see that most of the guys that got, Paul was a tent maker and Peter were a fisherman. And at one point, and then God called them. And there were several callings. He called them to salvation. Then he called them to his kingdom. And then he called them to a church. And then they led the church. And so these are the four callings that I see in the scriptures. That first of all, the most important one is that God calls you into fellowship with him. You hear the gospel. You hear that Christ died for you. That he loves you. That he created you. That he wants a personal relationship with you. And he calls you, he says, come to me. And then once you do come to him, you realize that he's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Then he says, relinquish your kingdom. And he gives you the choice to start bringing it to him. And then he calls you into a church to find your gifting and your calling and be equipped to be led to what area of ministry God wants you in. And then the vocation even that he's called you to. And we want to respond as we close. God's called each one of you, and he is calling you. Some of you, he's calling to come to him for the first time. You've been ignoring him. Just like you can ignore your wife. She's in another room talking, and you're like, uh-huh, uh-huh, and you're completely ignoring her. We do that with God. God is calling. And we want to respond. Maybe that's where he is calling you to come to him. Or maybe there's an area where you're just having a hard time dethroning yourself and your kingdom. It's not saying that he wants you to crash your kingdom. He's just saying, bring it to me. Give it to me. So that I can use it for my glory. And you're having a hard time with that. Maybe it's now that you're going to say, yes, Lord, I hear you calling me and I will. I'm going to lay it down at your feet. My home, my children, wherever I feel I'm in control, I'm going to give it to you. Or maybe it's, yes, Lord, I commit to this church. I will. I'm going to stop forsaking. I'm going to get really plugged into this church. I'm going to let this work. The different members of the body speak to me. Let you speak to me so that you can lead me. You know, that's hard to be. One of the most important things about leadership, believe it or not, is to learn how to follow. To learn how to follow. Some of you will not follow. And that's your problem. That's been my problem. I refuse to follow. I always want to be the leader. And Jesus says, follow me. And he actually has you practice on humans. Follow humans. Flawed, fractured humans. He says, trust me enough to follow, just like I said in my word. And that's a difficult thing. Because I people are not perfect like Jesus. I don't have a problem following Jesus, but I just have a problem following these people. And Jesus says, I know, but I'll protect you. You just submit yourself to those that God that I've placed in your life to bless your life. You got to trust me. Follow. And maybe you need to do that. You have to say, Lord, I'm going to trust again. Maybe you've been hurt. And it's hard for you to trust, but I've learned when an elder hurts you, God will bring an elder to heal you. When a pastor hurts you, God will bring a pastor to heal you. When a deacon hurts you, God will bring a deacon to heal you in the church. And you just laugh. You got to trust. You got to follow. You got to, you know, humble yourself to God. So let's do that now as we close. Let's all bow our heads and our hearts before God. Lord, we thank you. As we heard these things today, finding our calling, it's to be with you because you direct it all. And I pray for those right now, Lord, that have not heeded your calling to come to you and to ask you to forgive them. They've not acknowledged that they have been separated from you. I pray, Lord, as you're calling them now, that they would respond and say yes to you. Please forgive me, Lord. I come to you, Jesus. Please save me. And those that are having a hard time with possessions and the things of this world, Lord, that they would yield now. They would relinquish their kingdoms to you. That they would commit to your church. And commit to be light and salt in the vocation that you've called them. Thank you, Lord. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy and your kindness. In Jesus' name, amen.